The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The disciples of John and of the Pharisees were accustomed to fast. People came to Jesus and objected. Why do the disciples of John and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus answered them, Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast on that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunken cloth on an old cloak. If he does, its fullness pulls away the new from the old, and the tear gets worse. Likewise, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the skins are ruined. Rather, new wine is poured into fresh wineskins. The Gospel of the Lord.
In my climbing instructor days when I worked at the MAC, we had one of these meetings one time where we all had to, it was some sort of like team building, human resources, something or other like that. But the thing we had to do is like everybody had to write what you thought your actual job title was. Not like your, my actual job title was something like, I don't know, what was it? It was like outdoor department supervisor and head coach of the climbing team. It was something like that. But we had to write what we thought we actually did sort of on our name tag. And then we were going around with each other and sort of discussing it with people. And so I just wrote obstacle overcoming specialist. And so people didn't necessarily know what department you were from because there was a lot of newer people at the time. And so once people found out that I was, you know, running the climbing wall and the climbing program, it made a lot of sense to them. But one of the things I think is amazing about our Christian life is we really are trying to look for, like, what are the obstacles in between us and Christ? And the things that the Pharisees and the religious leaders of that day don't ever get about them is that Jesus is not the obstacle, right? It's just like when he was with them, he's not a hindrance or an obstacle at all. And so because of his presence, things were different than they expected. As I tend to do here and there, one of the things I wanted to read about today is we celebrate St. Anthony. And St. Anthony is, you know, he's alive at around the same time frame of a lot of great saints. St. Jerome and St. Augustine and St. Athanasius, like all these folks are kind of like in the 300s or so in that period. And so he lived a heroic life. And one of the things that he really saw in his life was that what are things that are getting in the way of him and Jesus? Like what's actually standing in the way? And largely, he saw that he was a wealthy man and that he really took to heart the message of the gospel to get rid of his possessions. And that's what he does. But it really is something that every one of us has to look at in our life. You know, there have been times, because I've moved so many times, I always use that as an opportunity to get rid of more things. So each time I move, I have less. But then sometimes, you know, they just start to collect again, right? Like we're just like, oh, that's shiny and new. And, you know, I need to buy it. And, you know, we have a great temptation for that. I mean, we live in an Amazon world, right? Here, it's just the click of a button, 2 days away. And so I'm going to read to you what this is actually St. Athanasius wrote this about St. Anthony. So this is in the Breviary, the Office of Readings, the second reading today, from the life of St. Anthony by St. Athanasius. When Anthony was about 18 or 20 years old, his parents died, leaving him with an only sister. He cared for her as she was very young and also looked after their home. Not 6 months after his parents' death, as he was on his way to church for his usual visit, he began to think of how the apostles had left everything and followed the Savior, and also of those mentioned in the book of Acts who had sold their possessions and brought the apostles the money for distribution to the needy. He reflected, too, on the great hope stored up in heaven for such as these. This was all in his mind when, entering the church, just as the gospel was being read, he heard the Lord's words to the rich man, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell all you have and give the money to the poor. You will have riches in heaven. Then come and follow me." It seemed to Anthony that it was God who had brought the saints to his mind, and that the words of the gospel had been spoken directly to him. Immediately he left the church and gave away to the villagers all the property he had inherited, about 200 acres of very beautiful and fertile land, so that it would cause no distraction to his sister and himself. He sold all his other possessions as well, giving to the poor the considerable sum of money he collected. However, to care for his sister, he retained a few things. The next time he went to the church, he heard the Lord say in the gospel, "Do not be anxious about tomorrow." Without a moment's hesitation, he went out and gave the poor all that he had left. He placed his sister in the care of some well-known and trustworthy virgins and arranged for her to be brought up in the convent. Then he gave himself up to the ascetic life, not far from his own home. He kept a careful watch over himself and practiced great austerity. He did manual work because he had heard the words, "If anyone will not work, do not let him eat." He spent some of his earnings on bread and the rest he gave to the poor. Having learned that we should always be praying, even when we are by ourselves, he prayed without ceasing. Indeed, he was so attentive when scripture was read that nothing escaped him, and because he retained all he heard, his memory served in place of books. Seeing the kind of life he lived, the villagers and all the good men he knew called him the friend of God, and they loved him as both son and brother. It's a beautifully written, you know, account of the saint, you know, and of course he did go to the extreme end of that poverty, but that still exists right in our days. We still have people that actually choose that life. And the thing that we have to remember, especially when we're down and we're struggling with difficulty, Archbishop Sample put it like this at the discernment retreat. He said, some of the psalms contained within the breviary, the liturgy of the hours, we pray this prayer, the clergy pray this prayer, and religious pray this prayer, because it's considered a part of the formal prayer of the church. Some of the psalms are joyful and jubilant, and some of them are very sad with lots of suffering and difficulty in them. But he said, it doesn't matter what you're feeling when you pray that prayer. You pray the prayer because somebody in the church is going through one of those things in the Psalms. So we continue to lift up everybody in the world by continuing to pray this prayer of the church, because somebody is joyful and somebody is suffering, but you say those words for all of those people, wherever they may be. God bless you all.